the best thing in my life. Sometimes when I look at you, I see my wife. Then you turn into somebody I don't know, and you push me away, push me away, yeah. Call me in the morning to apologize.
The Cure with Amy Cabo. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, joined by Boris.
And that's me.
That's how we do. Our show is available on your radio through our app called The Cure or our website, amyspurpose.com. That's AIMEESPURPOSE.com. We're broadcasting to your radio live from Miami via satellite. Also on Facebook, search for God is the Cure. Please click on send message button and send us a question or comment. We would love to hear from you. You can also get our app called The Cure. This show deals with suffering and the tenacity of the human spirit, the will to survive, and the courage to keep moving forward despite any obstacle with the help of God and each other. We do provide testimonials to let people know that they're not alone. And in this show, the testimony started with me, having been a survivor from child abuse well into young adulthood. We also have professionals in the medical field and inspirational speakers that are willing to help and give valuable information. Because awareness is vital, transparency is needed, and I believe we all suffer from something. As for me, my healing came from God, but other forms of healing are presented as well to service everyone. Life can be very challenging, but always know there's always someone who cares. That was Teeth by 5 Seconds of Summer. It's a great song. I love it because it's so real. We do fight dirty, but our love is sweet. We may talk pretty, but our hearts can have teeth. And yet we can have a great and passionate connection with that special someone, which is the fire that keeps it going. We can be the best thing in someone's life, yet turn into somebody they don't know. And subconsciously, we push them away, only then to apologize. Are you tired of running into the wrong person? What does it take to find the right person anyway? And how do we become the right person? Is it difficult to walk away? And when is it worthwhile staying? Have you given up on finding a meaningful relationship altogether? If you're suffering because you can't find love, or you need to mend your relationship and recreate the love that began with your relationship or marriage, or if you want to know when it's best to let go, move on, and learn to achieve a healthy relationship and loved one, then Lisa Concepcion is the person to talk to. Lisa Concepcion is a certified professional love life coach, dating and relationship strategist, and expert. The person to go to repair, reboot, and save your relationship or marriage, as well as attract a high-quality partner with no BS. Lisa, thank you for being on the show. You're now live on The Cure.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. What a cool introduction.
Thanks. Lisa, it's wonderful to have you on the show, because dating, it's not what it used to be, and marriages don't last like they used to. Why is it that we attract the wrong people in the first place, and what are some things to look for?
Oh wow, so I love this question, because it causes us, or inspires us, better word, to look inward. And so when we're looking for that right person, we must be first right within ourselves. And a lot of people are not. And they look externally for distractions, for other people, for their fulfillment and for their value and worthiness. And as we all know, and some people do not, or some people need to be reminded of it, is our worthiness comes from God. Our worthiness comes from source, you know, from the big energy that binds all of us. And so when we start to judge things as right or wrong, or this guy or that woman and this person in my life and that person in my life, we start to get very judgy about all of that, very judgmental. We forget that we're on this blessed journey, and everyone we meet and everything we are doing is serve us, is to serve our growth and to enlighten us and inspire us to be better people. So when we realize that we are not attracting the right people into our lives, then what a great indicator for us to look at us and ourselves and say, well, wait a second, if I'm not attracting the right kind of people, what kind of people do I want to attract, and who must I become within myself to be a match to those people? It's really never about them. You can't control them. You can't control you. And that's where the power comes from.
You mentioned something very interesting, judging, which translates to tolerance. And I think it's that could be a common denominator in marriages not lasting long or relationships not working out. Sometimes I feel like it's so easy to judge or even not have tolerance when we don't realize we're guilty of the very same things we are judging about or not being tolerant about.
You know, I find to, you know, answer the other part of that first question and this thing about relationships and marriages not lasting, you know, divorce has been a thing already since, you know, I think it kicked into high gear in the 60s or 70s when women started to realize that, you know, they can work, they can take the birth control pill, they don't have to be at the mercy of, you know, needing a man as if they were a father figure. You know, it's a different type of thing. It's choosing to be in a relationship, and it kind of changed the paradigm a bunch, and people were not going to stay and stand for abusive, toxic relationships that were unfulfilling. So we saw a lot of divorce happen and a lot of people saying, well, wait a second, I can choose to get out of this. I don't have to stay here. And so there's that. But what I also feel and have seen is, and even experienced in my own marriage that ended in divorce, was that there is this desire for other people to heal and choose only the things that we can do for ourselves. There's this codependency that turns up, where in relationships we're looking outside of ourselves and we're looking for someone else to soothe us and to provide fulfillment for us and to be a certain way and match a certain condition to make us happy. And that's a recipe for disaster, because when we start to expect that our spouses, our boyfriends, our girlfriends, our friends, our colleagues, whomever in our lives, live a certain way to appease us and behave a certain way to appease us, that's a recipe for disaster. It's a trap. We can't control other people. We can only control ourselves. So what we see are a lot of marriages where people fall in love, they get married, they have all these ideas and ambitions and plans of how they want to live their lives. But then life starts to dish things out to them, and it is a little unrattling, it's a little unnerving, a little unsettling, and they don't know how to live unconditionally. They don't know how to say, hello, my lovely spouse, I love you no matter what. This thing that's happening is not serving us, and so we have a problem that we both together can look at and find a solution for. Instead, it becomes an adversarial relationship, and people being more focused on who is right as opposed to being happy. And it's very egoic, and it isn't of faith, it isn't of grace. And when we start to see those types of relationships, they dissolve, because it's two people against each other as opposed to, you know, something's up in this relationship and it's just something that's causing stress. Maybe it's money, maybe it's careers, maybe it's just the journey that you're on together. And this condition is making us feel upset, making us get stressed out. How can we bond together and look for some solutions here? Because doing this on our own, individually, apart, is not even an option. We made a commitment. We made a commitment to see that whatever problem comes our way, you and I get together as a mastermind of two, and we solve it. So many people are so quick to choose, but I'm solving it the right way. You're solving it the wrong way. My way is better. Very egoic way of investing in relationships.
Well, you write very interesting blogs, and one of the things that I found interesting is that you write 10 ways to end drama in our lives, and also 10 key things to understand about infidelity that will bring you peace. Those are two different things I'd really like to explore when we come back, because I think part of the obstacle is the drama we sometimes have in our life. And hey, what do we do? Where do we go to? And how do we think when infidelity shows its ugly face? So I'd like to know what are the 10 things that can bring us peace? And so when we will return, we will talk to Lisa about that. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. If you would like to call in and share your positive or negative experiences dating, please call 866-34-TRUTH.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
I'll be the bad guy now, but no, I ain't too proud. I couldn't be there, even when I tried. You don't believe it. We do this every time. Seasons change and our love went cold. Feed the flag, cause we can't let go.
Continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome back to the show. For those that are just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo and this is The Cure. We're live on your radio and also on Facebook. Later, it's podcasts, so search for The Cure on any podcast or download the app, The Cure. That was Circles by Post Malone. It's when we're not too proud that we're willing to be the bad guy. Sometimes we couldn't be there, even though we tried. And we're not believed, and we do it every time. We go in circles, because seasons change. People change. Sometimes our love goes cold, but we feed the flames because we can't let go. We are talking to Lisa Concepcion about achieving healthy relationships. Lisa, unfortunately, we only have about 10 more minutes, 15 minutes of the show, and there's so many questions I wanted to ask you. So which one do you want to go with? The 10 ways to end drama, or 10 ways to find peace with infidelity?
Great. So I feel like drama is such a thing. I mean, both of them are very important topics, but like, if you don't have a drama life, you're probably, like, if you have a life without drama, you're probably not going to cheat. So I would go with the drama one first. Let's talk that. Let's talk about eradicating drama. People have drama in their life that they are just, you know, inviting in at every turn, and they create their own drama. And so I feel like that's always something that comes up in my practice, in my coaching practice.
I bet. Sorry.
Yeah, for real. People will always say to me, oh my God, the drama in my life. And I'm like, well, it inspired me to like write this blog that I have on my website, lovequestcoaching.com. There's a blog there. You can check out this article if people are hearing this, you know, wherever they're finding this. And it's 10 ways to end drama in your life. So I just like to give these, you know, quick 10 things, these practical tools that people can say, huh, I do that. I really do that. And I'm going to stop doing that. You know, these little quick things that they could put into play immediately.
Awesome.
So, you know, I came up with this list. And one of the number one things is just acknowledging that you're having a lot of drama in your life and committing to living a drama-free life. Like, making that commitment and taking that stance is the number one thing to do to set this new path.
At least cut out the unnecessary drama, right?
Yeah, unnecessary drama. I mean, look, life is going to bring us things to have contrast. You know, it's normal, right? If things happen, it shows us what we want. When we see what we don't want, we know what we do want. But what I'm saying, when we talk drama, is like this constant, it's just constant stress, constant people coming at you from different ways with all of their burdens and all of their BS. And you're just like, okay, you know what? Like, I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life because I'm a magnet to this and this can't happen. So again, it's always looking at what you can control, which is you. The first thing that you can do is be like, well, like, what's going on in my life right now with all this drama and it needs to stop and I'm going to commit to a drama-free life. And then you start to say, well, what does that look like exactly? And the first thing, typically, is looking at the people in your circle, your social circle, your family circle, and, you know, saying goodbye to negative people. Now, I don't necessarily mean, like, up and leaving and going to a mountain somewhere. But when I say bye to negative people, you're saying bye to that aspect of them, to that version of them. So that, let's say, it's your mom, and she only complains. She's always negative, complaining, coming at you crooked, telling you that you're not enough and that your life isn't the way she thought it should be for you, all this judgment. You can have your life in such a way, your mindset in such a way, that your mom will not come at you that way anymore. She will not come to you with criticism. She will no longer come to you with any judgment. Instead, she'll come to you with interesting things that she's working on, great news about her health, good news only. And the way to do that is to really make it a point to engage with people in a positive way. So life attracts life. So if you call up your mom and you're entering the conversation thinking, oh, my God, what is this lady going to come at me with today? You're already setting it up for negative. But if you pre-pave the conversation and let's say 10 minutes before you're going to call your mom, you make a list of three positive things that you want to share with your mom. Maybe it's a memory of a good time. Maybe it's something that you have planned that you want to do with her together. Or maybe it's a question that you have to help gain more understanding about who she is and where she is in her life. So now you're coming in with this whole other energy, a higher energy to the same conversation. And when you get on that phone and you say, hey, Ma, how are you? Ma, listen, I was cooking this recipe, and I remember back when I was in high school, we made this cake. Remember that day we made that cake? Let me tell you, it was amazing, and I remember I had such a memory with this. That's going to put her in such a high vibration. It's going to put her in such a high, happy place. But she's probably not going to come around and say, yeah, right, we baked a cake when you were 16. Talk to me about who you're dating. Talk to me about that idiot that you're seeing.
So basically, you're setting the tone by having the right attitude.
Exactly.
Is what you're telling me.
Everything, everything. And when you want a drama-free life, it is on you to create an attitude that is not conducive to drama. Another example of this that I write in my article, I have 10 things that you can do. One is also ending the drama on social media, right? This is a huge one that people complain. And then they have people, oh, my wife, she's talking to her ex-boyfriend from college on social media. It's causing drama in my marriage. Why invite in that drama? So in ending the drama on social media is a big one. And what I encourage
you just disconnect her social media account?
Do we ghost them?
It's not even a matter of you know, you can keep your social media account. Just when you get into these discussions about politics, about heavy in combative debates. This is all adding to drama and negativity of your life. People who are not friending each other now because so-and-so said something to so-and-so about their outfit. I mean, petty stuff. And you don't need this in your life. This adds clutter to your life. You want to declutter your life. And, you know, you can be in social media, but post positive things. Post a beautiful picture of a sunset. Say, wow, I'm in Miami. Look at the sunset today. It's gorgeous. Or post a picture of a beautiful, you know, something you're eating, something you're doing, fun with friends. There's no need to be using social media as this way to incite and inspire these discussions and debates of people that are alienating and are very combative. And we see so much of that on social media, that when you just check out of social media, you post something positive, and then you go live your life, you come back and you say, oh, wow, look at these people. They commented on my thing. Somebody said, thank you for the inspiration. I made a conscious decision in 2016 when I started to really up-level my business. And it was 2016, the year of Trump and the year of the whole election and the whole thing. And social media blew up with debate and discussion, and I got sucked into that mix. And I said, you know what? This has nothing to do with my life and my business. My opinions about this, to be banging the drum of this on social media, is only going to cause drama in my life and negativity. So I made a commitment, no more negativity. I do not talk politics on social media.
There's nothing you can do about. I mean, what's the point?
Exactly. And it's a waste of time. It's a time suck. It doesn't do anything for you except drama attracts more drama, attracts more drama. And I said, you know what? This is not the way I want to live. I live a drama-free life. I post things that are about my business, inspiring people, the big wins that my clients have, things that other people can relate to, you know, things that people are going through in real life and they're coming out of the other side because they take the time to commit
wow,
to living a better life.
That's amazing.
They take action, right? They take action. They're like, I'm going all in on me. I want to solve this thing. And whatever it is, it could be getting over a breakup.
That's the way to go. Exactly. I completely agree with you, Lisa.
Yep.
I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We'll be right back after a short break. Thank you, Lisa, for being with us in the show. Thank you. You've been wonderful.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, just as you helped Moses and Aaron as they spoke boldly to Pariah on behalf of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, help us speak for modern-day slaves around the world. Dear Lord, you are a strong tower and mighty fortress. Help your rescued children feel safe and begin to heal. Protect them from those who seek to harm them. Dear Lord, your word shows that you bring you joy and hope where previously there was only shame and fear. We ask this for our brothers and sisters who desperately need to accept that they can be made new. Dear Lord, you demand justice for those who have been wronged. Give strength to those who investigate and prosecute traffickers. Encourage them when they are weary. Give courage to survivors when they are asked to testify against their former captors. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Thank you for being with us. Until next week, much love.
Listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.